Aloha and welcome to the Hawaii Family Forum Triple F Podcast. Triple F stands for Faith, Family, and Freedom. Hawaii Family Forum has worked alongside the faith-based community in Hawaii since 1998. Join us today as we continue to work toward a Hawaii where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished.
Aloha, everybody. This is Eva Andrade. I'm the president of Hawaii Family Forum. And once again, I'm here with Kelly Rosati, our very first director of Hawaii Family Forum. And we're just doing these little time capsules of things that Hawaii Family Forum has done in the last 20 years in service to the people of Hawaii. And today, Kelly, we're going to talk about two issues that were very passionate and near and dear to your heart. And one in particular that you actually got some kudos from the Star Bulletin, but we will get into that. Let's talk first and foremost, and you might want to give a little bit of background on this because a lot of people in Hawaii may not know this happened, about the sex-oriented businesses effort that Hawaii Family Forum was involved in.
Yeah, believe it or not, there was a time that down in Waikiki, one of the things that was happening is that businesses were opening up nude strip clubs, and they were using minor teenage girls in these strip clubs. And the reason they were able to get away with it is because they were bring your own booze nude strip clubs. And that was one way that these places were able to circumvent the Liquor Commission rules about the age of minors that would be used in these businesses. And so it was just one of those crazy things. Nobody could ever support using teenage girls in such establishments, but nobody knew about it. And so that was one of the things we set about to do at the local level, was to change the ordinance and to really close that loophole and to make sure that minor girls in Hawaii were not being used in that way. And it was a really significant problem. And the use of minors in sex trafficking and sex-oriented businesses, and how that relates to Hawaii's, at the time, very low age of sexual consent, was all connected, and it was all part of systemic exploitation of young women and young men at times in the state. And so being able to be involved, to be a voice for those young women who many of them had only known abuse and neglect and abandonment and had never known the love of a family, that was a really important issue that we were able to be a part of. It was very nonpartisan. It was something that really brought the community together, because not too many people were passionate about making sure that businesses could continue to exploit young women in such a way. And so it was just an area of awareness and advocacy and not giving up and tenaciousness and perseverance. And thankfully, the city council changed the law and those practices stopped in Waikiki.
And this is just another example, though, of Hawaii Family Forum reaching out to work with different groups of people to stop something that was bad for the people of Hawaii. And I remember I was working for Hawaii Family Forum at this time. You had stole me away from the diocese in December of 2001.
With permission.
With permission. and of course, in one of our future podcasts, we'll talk about that partnership with the diocese. But what I do remember about this, Kelly, is that you worked with the Sisters Offering Support, which was a group at that time that really wanted to get young girls out of prostitution. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really a privilege to work with the folks who ran that organization. It was a peer-based organization, and so the women who led it had themselves been involved in the sex industry and were just very passionate about the exploitation that went on and how they could help other young women escape that exploitation. And so we did work together. We were able to help educate policymakers and the public about the connection between sex-oriented businesses and prostitution and what it did to young women in terms of degradation and in terms of really, again, a devaluing of the dignity of every human life. And so working together with those folks who had that kind of on-the-ground experience proved to be a really compelling partnership, and we were able to move the ball and get the law changed to protect Hawaii's young people.
Now, let me ask you something that I get asked sometimes today, and I'm sure that you were asked this then, is, as a Christian, you get a lot of expectations from pastors and other Christians that you should only work with Christians or that you should stay within the faith-based circles. But Hawaii Family Forum has never fallen into that
model. It was all I
could
do not to laugh hard about that because, of course, I don't really see that in the scripture at all where we're called to simply isolate and live, you know, a segregated type faith life. And so I can't think of any better way to build relationships and to help people understand the heart of a father who loves every person, every son and daughter on the earth than to work with them to advance the common good and to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. And so I would say that the inquiries around that topic, they weren't very frequent for me back in the day. I also think that it's just the nature of Hawaii. One of the really great strengths of Hawaii, I think, is a better understanding of what it is to live in a pluralistic society. And I think even people who wouldn't agree with Hawaii Family Forum would very much agree with the way in which we tried to do things and also would be able to see that, again, whether they landed in the same place or not, that we did, we were about trying and are about and will continue to be about trying to advance the common good.
Of course, as we're talking about this, I'm smiling because as we start moving into this next issue, even though we were doing what was good for the community, there wasn't always applause from the other side. One of the issues that surfaced with all of this fighting we were doing on these businesses was tearing the lid off this idea of these young girls, 14 and 15, who were being sold into sex trafficking, prostitution. This became a very big issue for you, and you went up against some very big people sometimes alone. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, this is still one of the strangest things. As you said, the way that 14 and 15-year-old girls were able to be lured into the sex industry was because Hawaii had the lowest in the nation at the time age of sexual consent, which meant that adult men of any age were able to legally have sex with 14 and 15-year-old girls. Well, the way that you exploit and lure and groom girls into the sex industry is you start by being their boyfriend. And so the laws in Hawaii were almost an open invitation to this. And I'll never forget when someone sent in a letter to Hawaii Family Forum letting us know about this. And I thought, oh, surely this person doesn't know what they're talking about. There's no way that can be true. Like, it can't be legal for 40-year-old men to have sex with eighth graders in Hawaii. Like, it just can't be true. Well, lo and behold, it was true. And then I thought, well, that's appalling, but goodness gracious, who could possibly think that was okay? We just got to let people know. And so I naively trotted off to the legislature to talk to the, you know, appropriate committee chairs and say, hey, did you know this was the case? Like, we got to get the law changed. And that's when my eyes got opened. And this legislator that I met with had brought in the representatives of some of the abortion industry. And they proceeded to tell me why it was really important that 14-year-old girls be able to have sex with whoever they wanted, however old they were, because they also needed to have access to birth control and abortions without their parents' consent, which, you know, has a certain kind of sick logic to it, but I could understand what they were saying. But I always remember telling the story that I would ask them back. I would say, look, I understand that you don't agree with me, but can you at least understand what I'm saying? That there would be a concern. I get that you're not going to come down on the side of this concern, but can you at least see that reasonable people would be concerned with such a problem of the sex industry exploiting young women in Hawaii? And you are representatives of the women's groups. Can you at least see that this could be an issue? And do you know, I could never get them to concede that they had any idea what I was talking about. And it made me feel like I was losing my mind. And so we just kept going and kept meeting with people, kept talking about this issue. And I remember it was, I think, probably writing an op-ed for one of the big papers at the time that helped kind of raise this issue. And then also lots of kudos at the time to Governor Lingle, or maybe she wasn't governor at the time, but she was running for governor, and some of the other Republican legislators, and some very key Democrat legislators as well, who just said, yeah, this is not okay. We can't be for this. But it just continued, Eva, with this, what I perceived as kind of crazy making, where all of the law enforcement community then came out and opposed raising the age of consent. Now, keep in mind, we were being very reasonable. We wanted to raise it from 14 to 16 to protect 14 and 15-year-olds. And we were also very clear that while we didn't support teenage sexual activity, we weren't trying to criminalize it. So we were really talking about getting at this older predatory men, particularly with younger girls. And all of the law enforcement community opposed it. But we just kept going, and finally, I think mostly because legislators didn't want to have to try to explain this to regular people who couldn't understand the other side of an issue like this, and it passed. And it passed, you know, overwhelmingly. I think maybe there were one or two holdouts in both chambers. And I just remember thinking, oh, this was so great. We finally got this happening. And then the governor vetoed the legislation.
But that's not where it ended. What's exciting to know in Hawaii Family Forum through your efforts, Kelly, this was historical, right? Because your efforts escalated with education in the community, getting people involved, getting people to contact their legislators. You had letters to the editor campaign. It's huge. I mean, all of this stuff, for anyone who wants to find it, you can check the links below. I'm going to put what I can. But the wonderful thing is there was history in the making. Happened in July of 2001. That was when the governor's veto was overwritten. This was Governor Cayetano, a Democrat. It was overridden by Democrats, a Democrat-controlled House and Senate.
It was. And going about the work of that was just one of the most rewarding things I feel like I've ever been privileged to be a part of. And again, it goes back to that early philosophy of Hawaii Family Forum, which was to love people and to be in relationships, even if you didn't agree with them about everything. And so I was very privileged to be able to essentially negotiate the agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats to convene a special session for the purpose of overriding the governor's veto on this particular issue. And we were just thrilled and amazed to see that that happened, and that finally our 14 and 15-year-olds in Hawaii would have some protection against predators. And it was, as I said, one of the things I'm most privileged to ever have been involved in as a matter of policy.
What's exciting for me with Hawaii Family Forum moving forward is that, again, it shows that Hawaii Family Forum has never been a one-issue organization, that we have always cared about our keiki, about our youth, about our kapuna, and we're going to continue to do so. But I want to end on this very positive note. So on December 30th, 2001, the Star Bulletin put an article out listing Kelly as a lobbyist key in raising the age of consent. She was also listed as one of the 10 most influential people in Hawaii at that time. So for those of you that are listening and want to know more about these issues, please click the links below. But Kelly, is there anything that you would like to end this segment on? I mean, this was a big issue for you. You worked very hard, and we're privileged and honored to be able to sit here across the table with a woman that worked so hard on this issue.
Well, no, the only thing I'm thinking right now is just how proud I am of you, Eva, and of everybody at Hawaii Family Forum, of Francis Oda and Austin Imamura and all of the folks on the board and folks who have been with the organization for 20 years faithfully continuing with this. And I'm just so proud of the way that Hawaii Family Forum engages on the issues. And as you said, it's never been in doubt that Hawaii Family Forum cares about a broad range of issues that impact families, not politically motivated issues, not ideologically driven issues, but family issues that are consistent with God's love for every person. And so I'm just really proud of the work you're doing and excited for your future.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. I know this was a little longer episode, but we know that these issues are important to the people of Hawaii, and we will continue to stand with those who want to support and protect our keiki, our youth, our kapuna. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you, or we'll be back with you on our next podcast. Thank you for listening. Mahalo, everyone. Aloha, everyone. This is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and I'm here once again with the very first executive director of Hawaii Family Forum, Kelly Rosati, and we're going to be talking about the last big issue that Kelly made an impact in Hawaii on before she got on an airplane and flew to focus on the family to change lives forever here in Colorado Springs. And that is the Families for Waiting Keiki project that was a joint effort of Hawaii Family Forum and Hope in the Name of Christ. Kelly, you want to talk about this wonderful thing that happened, I think it was 2006 through 2008. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right, yeah. And basically, what happened was we began to be more aware at Hawaii Family Forum of essentially what our modern day orphans that were right in our own communities in the islands. These are kids who were in the foster care system who had experienced abuse or neglect or an abandonment, and they were not able to return safely to their birth families. For whatever reason, their birth families were either unwilling or unable to provide a safe family home for those kids. And so they just sat in foster care, and they had no permanency. They belonged nowhere and with no one. And it was just such a horrible thing to consider. And then you thought about all the churches that there are in Hawaii. Why should there be kids who don't have families when you have churches full of people following a Savior who has declared that he's a father to the fatherless, that he sets the lonely in families, that pure religion is to look after widows and orphans in their distress. And so we thought we just have to help the churches know that there are kids who need families, and then families will come forward. And so it was important that we do that, but we didn't really have the means to do it. And so we began at the time to work on the idea of a faith-based public-private partnership. It was back during the time when in the federal government this was a very popular thing. And so Hawaii Family Forum actually got a grant from Hawaii's Department of Human Services to recruit families for those kids that needed them. And so we were able to take what God had given us at Hawaii Family Forum by way of influence and voice with the local churches and use that on behalf of the local keiki who needed family, who needed ohana, and let people know of the need and ask them to consider praying and coming forward and being family for kids with no family. And so that's what we did. And once those families came forward, we connected them to a Christian adoption agency at the time called Hope in the Name of Christ, and they processed through. And as a result of that, there are lots of kids in Hawaii who ended up in adoptive families. And by no means is it a Cinderella kind of thing where once that happens, everything is yippee-skippy and there are no issues and no problems and everybody just whistles off into the sunset. It isn't like that. When you parent kids who have experienced trauma, what we now understand is that trauma changes their brain, and neurologically those kids are different. So you need to parent them differently, and you're going to have a lot of issues and struggles and problems. And Eva, as you know, one of the reasons this was such a passion for my husband and me is because we did this. We learned about these kids and we said, oh my word, we have a family. There are kids who need families. And so we adopted our four kids from Hawaii's foster care system. And it's not been easy. And it has, in fact, been more challenging than I could have ever imagined. We'd do it all over again, and the kids are worth it. But that was one of the projects that we got to be a part of at Hawaii Family Forum, was helping the Christian community be aware of the needs of these kids and calling forth families for Hawaii's orphans.
You know, it's interesting, as you were sharing, I was going to say that. I was going to say, well, you know, this wasn't just an issue that was floating out there. It was one that you lived. You were one of the people that heard the call of these keiki. And that's what I really want people listening to understand, is these aren't kids that are from China or from Russia or even from the mainland. These were kids in Hawaii. These were our own. These were kids that had no place to go. I remember you sharing stories of these kids who, these were the hard to place kids, correct? These
mm-hmm,
weren't,
that's right.
These were ones that had the issues you're talking about. And I know you walked that walk. And for those listening, I too just got guardianship. Permanent guardianship of my 14-year-old grandson, and he has emotional issues. So we understand the needs of these kids and the needs of the parents that
That's
are raising
right.
them. This is not easy. And for those listening, I want you to know that our prayers have been with all of you, whether you have children or not, whether you have a job or whether you're homeless. Our hearts at Hawaii Family Forum is for the community in Hawaii. And this issue, Kelly, didn't stop for you in Hawaii, did it? I mean, mm-hmm. this is such a positive way to end this. I mean, I'm sad to say that you left Hawaii Family Forum, but you left to do something powerful here in Colorado Springs and focus on the family. And tell our listeners a little bit about where you are today, because it didn't end for you there. Mm.
That's such a good reminder. You know, we often just go and kind of forget. This is really nostalgic for me, but yeah, it's true. Came to Focus on the Family where, again, because of the heart and passion of Jim Daly, who is our president of Focus on the Family, who himself was orphaned as a child and spent time in foster care. When I got here, Jim was very clear to me, let's get this done. Across the nation, there are 100,000 children that are these modern day orphans waiting for families. As you said, Eva, they are the most difficult to place children. Tragically, they're kids that some people have described as unadoptable. Well, we absolutely reject that. They're teenagers, they're sibling groups, they're kids with special needs. But what we know is that everyone is made in God's image and that He has a plan for their lives. And so we're not to give up on them. And so with 100,000 kids that need families and 300,000 churches across the U.S., even for me who can't do math, this was pretty simple. If just one family in every third church would welcome home one of these waiting kids, we would have no more waiting kids in the United States. And so from Families for Waiting Keiki at Hawaii Family Forum, we were able to go on and start here at Focus on the Family a program called Wait No More. And through our Wait No More program, we have been to about 30 states across the nation doing these events where we help recruit families for kids that need them. We have had coming up on 4,000 families initiate that process care adoption. Yeah. And one of the most amazing things about this program, Wait No More, is that even when President Obama was in the White House, that administration recognized Wait No More as part of the White House National Adoption Month celebration. I've testified before Congress about this program. It has really been an amazing journey, and it all started back at Hawaii Family Forum.
For any of our listeners who are interested, there is, Kelly did write a book. It's called Wait No More, and it tells her story of adopting her four beautiful children from the state of Hawaii and that journey her and her husband John have made with these children. And they're not children anymore. Your oldest is how old?
Well, they're still technically children, but they're a lot older. Our oldest is almost 18. And so we have almost 18, 16, 15, and 13. And yeah, if you read the book, it seems like our life was very exciting. And it's almost, as I read it, it feels like maybe it was something that happened to somebody else. The most amazing thing, however, is that when the book concludes, life from that point forward has only gotten about 100 times more intense, which is a little difficult to conceive of, and is part of why I'm just hanging on over here. So if you hear this, pray for us over here on the mainland. But really, at the end of the day, the bottom line is, regardless of the difficulty, our kids are worth it. Every child is worth it. And we will never stop trying to be a voice for those children who need family and who need to belong. And need not to be alone.
Amen. In fact, a Star Bulletin article that was done, the date of this one is August 19, 2006. The end of the article says that we won't take a family, and I'm quoting from the article, we will not take a family that says we will try. It's like marriage. When families wax and wane, couples stay faithful because they have given their unconditional commitment. And Kelly, you've done that. You've walked that walk. If anyone's interested in the book, Kelly, can you tell them how they can get a copy of that book? Can they get it from the Focus on the Family bookstore?
They sure can.
I'll put that link here so that you can get it. And if you can't find it, please give me a call at Hawaii Family Forum, and I will hook you up, because it's a book that's well worth reading. I did read it when Kelly wrote it. In fact, mine is autographed.
You're probably in the book, too.
Yeah, I think I think you mentioned me in there. It's kind of funny. I've never been mentioned in a book before. So, Kelly, as we end our precious time that we've had talking about all these issues of Hawaii Family Forum, do you have any words of advice for the people in Hawaii who may feel like there is no hope? There's nothing to look forward to. Things are stressful. Why should we get involved on these issues of family, of life? Any advice for them?
Well, first of all, of course there's hope. We're followers of the Prince of Peace, and we always have hope because of Jesus and who he is and in our lives. I would say for especially those of us who are parents, as we try to raise our kids, to be involved, to consider others more highly than themselves, to be part of community, this is a wonderful way to do it. This is just one way. This is not the most important thing everyone in the whole wide world needs to be involved in. But it's sure a wonderful way to be a witness in your community to the love of God for every person and every child and every family. And I'm just really proud of you, Eva. And as I said, all the folks at Hawaii Family Forum, I know you have a super bright future. And I just look to you to continue to be a model for the way that things can be done, engaging in policy on behalf of families.
And thank you, listeners, for being a part of the Hawaii Family Forum family, because we all know Hawaii, we all know family, but the forum part is where you come in, dear listeners. You're part of who we are, and we thank you for listening. And once again, Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your heart and your stories with us.
Mahalo, aloha.
And you can come back to Hawaii anytime.
I'll be back for the celebration.
Oh, that's right.
I'll see you in July.
July 14th, 2018. Hawaii Family Forum's 20th anniversary celebration. For more information, click the link below. Mahalo, everybody, for listening.
Aloha, this is Eva Andrade, president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we are pleased that you were able to join us on this weekly Triple F podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. Take care and God bless.